Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Dreaming and singing about a free Cuba. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up on our program today, acoustic guitar whiz Leo Kottke plays live for us, and we'll look at five recent releases in our Soundcheck Picks of the Week. But first, singer Gloria Estefan became famous for her crossover of Latin rhythms and American pop. But for her new record, 90 Millas, 90 Miles, she went back to the boleros and rumbas of her homeland of Cuba. In the meantime, on the New York stage, a new musical about Cuban salsa singer Celia Cruz is about to open next week. Is Cuban nostalgia growing as Fidel Castro's health deteriorates? We start with Sandra Guzman, editor of Tempo, the Latino section of the New York Post. She joins us on the phone. Sandra, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love that song.
The Gloria Estefan record, 90 Millas, 90 Miles, it's out today. It's her first in 7 years. You wrote that you were at a listening party for this record. You mentioned mojitos. Why was that so important to the article?
Well, you know, this is back in May, and Gloria and her husband and producer, Emilio Estefan, had a private listening party at the Sony Studios on West 57th Street. And usually the place is dark, but it looked very Miami when we walked in, and it was decorated with palm trees and fresh mojitos.
So it really was about going back to roots, going back, you know, not doing the crossover with American pop, but really changing that, I guess, and getting back to something much more típico, in a sense.
Well, yes, típico in a sense. What Gloria said at the time, by the way, Emilio said that music sounds a lot better after a couple of mojitos.
Music in general or her music?
Music in general.
Okay, all right.
She said at the time that this was a very organic kind of project, and that it started because she itched to go back to all this music that she remembered as a child, that music of her parents, that Santana, Carlos Santana, and Jose Feliciano, and Johnny Pacheco, and a lot of the Fania musicians were playing. So she wanted to pay tribute to her roots, and she did really amazingly well with Mi Tierra, her
last Spanish record.
Absolutely. Yeah. So she wanted to do a more rooted album.
So we're speaking with Sandra Guzman, editor of Tempo, the Latino section of the New York Post. The album by Gloria Estefan is called 90 Millas, 90 Miles, which happens to be the distance between Cuba and the southernmost United States. Is it possible for her to do a record like this with a title like that and not have it be political?
I think everything that Gloria touches is political. Everything is nuanced with this yearning to go back to Cuba. So you can take the girl out of Cuba, but you can't take Cuba out of the girl. And absolutely, this was a wink to Cuban Americans who have a very profound connection to that number. This is absolutely a very political album. From beginning to end, you don't know if she's singing to a lover or to
a country, yeah. Let's hear a little bit of the title track, 90 Millas, 90 Miles, from Gloria Estefan.
Su mi de Maya.
This is the title track from the new Gloria Estefan record, 90 Millas, 90 Miles. And as Sandra Guzman of the New York Post told us before we heard it, the album is a political statement. Also joining us here in our studio on Soundcheck is Carolina Gonzalez, contributor to Viva New York, the Latino-themed section of the New York Daily News, and a frequent guest of ours. And Carolina, it clearly has a political text or subtext.
Mm-hmm.
But there also seems to be an element of nostalgia, a longing for the homeland here.
Well, I mean, what happens in the people who are very, very involved in the entertainment industry who are of Cuban descent is that a lot of them are of that generation that, you know, came after 1959. So in a way, they're kind of frozen in time. They have, you know, they have this sort of like longing for the pre-revolutionary Cuba. And as they have gained power in the industry, they've infected our idea of Cuban music with, you know, just a music that basically stops in 1959.
So is this Gloria Estefan record, are you saying that this is kind of, you know, Cuban music stuck in amber from half a century ago?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I couldn't tell that much of a difference between this and Mi Tierra. They're very, very similar records, both in the longing and in the, you know, I actually thought her earlier stuff that was poppier and more, you know, Manhattan Transfer or whatever was kind of more interesting because it was much more about living here as a Cuban American as opposed to this stuff, which is like, you know, we're just hanging out, waiting for the old man to die, and then we're going to go back and reclaim, you know, all our stuff.
Mm. Sandra?
Yeah, I think it's an intriguing point you make, Carolina, but I have to disagree with you on a couple of points. The remix to her first single was actually done by, there's two remixes, one with Pitbull, whose father came in the Marielle Boatlift, and he absolutely embraces that idea of reclaiming Cuba. I actually just got back from Cuba a month and a half ago, and I had the blessing, the gift of having traveled to Cuba with Danny Rivera, whom you probably know, Carolina. John, I don't know if you know him, but he's the Bob Dylan of Puerto Rican music, but he's loved in all of the Caribbean, the Dominican Republic, Cuba, I think in all of Latin America. And I traveled with him for 3 weeks in Cuba, and one of the places we went to was the eastern part of Cuba to a festival, La Cucalambiada. And you would think that this music is sort of stuck in the 50s, but absolutely not. This is part of classic Cuban music. This is rumba and boleros and the yearning for the homeland.
So are you saying, Sandra, that in fact Gloria Estefan's new record does actually reflect things that are happening currently in Cuba?
Absolutely, except, of course, the lyrics that Cuba will be libre, because I'm not sure that all Cubans would agree that Cuba is not free. But I'm talking about the drumming. I'm talking about this love of land, this love of the homeland. Mm-hmm. It's something that permeates throughout the Cuban land, both in the exile community
and back on the island.
Absolutely.
Right. Sandra, Carolina, you both mentioned this single, No Llores, No Llores, Don't Cry.
Mm-hmm.
This has both Jose Feliciano and Carlos Santana, there's a stellar group of Cuban players. I mean, Chocolate, great trumpeter,
She definitely has good taste in collaborators. Mm-hmm. I will always give her props for that.
Unbelievable. And you know what they've also done, which is really fascinating? They actually they filmed all of the recordings. So they have these amazing anecdotes that go back to Latin music in the United States for 50 years. They filmed in San Francisco, they filmed in Miami, and they filmed in Puerto Rico with some of the great salseros, Papo Luca. And what was really interesting to me at this listening session was what they both said. They wanted to educate the masses about Cuban music and kind of showcase that a lot of what you hear today, whether it's, you know, salsa, and that's not necessarily my point of view. This is their point of view.
This is Gloria and Emilio.
That a lot of what you hear today is really Cuban music. And so they wanted to bring people like Johnny Pacheco who popularized the charanga during the 1960s. And they wanted to bring in Sheila E., who, of course, who's Mexican-American, who, you know, popularized the drumming.
Played with Prince, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's hear Gloria Estefan with Carlos Santana and Jose Feliciano. The single from her new record, 90 Miles, or 90 Millas, is called No Llores, Don't Cry. No Llores, Don't Cry, from the album 90 Millas, 90 Miles, the new one from Gloria Estefan, featuring Carlos Santana and Jose Feliciano on guitars. And we're speaking with Sandra Guzman from the New York Post's Latino section, Tempo, and Carolina Gonzalez from Viva New York, the Latino-themed section of the New York Daily News. Carolina, Sandra was talking about some of the collaborators that Gloria Estefan got to work with her on this new record. There was one artist that Gloria really wanted on the record and obviously couldn't have because she's been dead for a few years now, but that's the great Cuban singer Celia Cruz, who is yet another indication of this kind of new interest that we're seeing in Cuban music. First of all, what's your take on the whole collaboration thing that Gloria has done?
Well, I mean, like I said, she has extremely good taste. She can hire, I mean, somebody like Cachao or Chocolate or Pitbull. They're really amazing, amazing musicians. But, you know, I think it's kind of ironic that, you know, she has led boycotts against certain musicians for playing in Cuba. And now there's a petition going around online because Carlos Santana is on this record. And the complaint is that at an award show, Carlos Santana wore a Che t-shirt. And for, you know, the sort of hardcore, rabid, anti-Castro segment, Che is a murderer and, you know, a horrible, horrible person. So you even have some of, you know, people who are her natural constituency kind of saying, you know, don't buy her record because she, you know, stepped out of the party line.
So, boy, the politics is really hard to separate. I mean, and that's actually two Soundcheck programs in a row where Che Guevara gets mentioned. Because yesterday we were talking about him when we were talking about tone deafness and stuff.
Yeah, his lack of
notoriously,
dancing skills.
Yes, notoriously tone deaf.
Yeah.
All right, so Celia Cruz. The musical Celia opens next week at the New World Stage in Midtown. You saw it?
Yeah.
What makes Celia Cruz a fit subject for a musical?
Well, actually, you know, she's incredibly recognizable. Like, every Latino person from any, you know, national origin knows who Celia Cruz is. Well,
anybody who watched Sesame Street for the last 20 years knows who Celia Cruz is.
Yeah, and actually, one moment in the play, one of the accomplishments that her husband lists is that she sang with Miss Piggy in the Muppet Show, which I thought was great. Yeah, I mean, she's incredibly recognizable, very beloved, uncontroversial, you know. So, you know, it makes for a good, feel-good kind of show. So, I mean, you know, I felt good.
Actually, she's not she is very controversial when it comes to the subject of Cuba. Do you know she was boycotted in Puerto Rico, again, because of the same issue? There were two salsa singers who visited Cuba and performed in Cuba, and there were bonfires in Miami, the burning of their records. And so when she came to Puerto Rico for one of her last concerts, there was a boycott, and she remembers, you know, she said she was very hurt by it. Celia always said that she will never return to Cuba unless the bearded man is dead.
So she wouldn't even name him.
No.
Her music was banned there because she was sort of at one point at least outspoken against
Fidel
Castro.
She was definitely outspoken for, you know, a big chunk of her career.
Yeah, she was definitely anti-Fidel, and you know, she's very...
But I don't know that necessarily made her controversial here, you know, or certainly not among the Cuban community.
Well, Sandra, what's it like in Cuba? I mean, can you hear Celia Cruz on Cuban radio, for example?
No, you won't hear Celia or Gloria, for that matter. But you will hear Mark Anthony and reggaeton, and you will hear people like Juanes and Danny Rivera. You almost hear Shakira. But a lot of the Cuban musicians that you would hear here, they're banned.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, Cuba's really a fascinating place, has always been. What I found painful for me was talking to a lot of the writers, young writers, who want to express themselves and are finding a difficult time expressing themselves, like, you know,
in Cuba.
Yeah, and I went
there. All right, so maybe let's talk in a moment about whether there's a more nuanced version of modern Cuba that's coming into play as we see a changing of the guard imminent on the island. But Celia Cruz, the musical Celia, opens next week at the New World Stage. The role is played by Xiomara Lagarde, is that her name?
Yes.
But this is the real thing. This is Celia Cruz herself and one of her big hits. The late, great Celia Cruz, La Vida Es Un Carnaval, and her life and music, the subject of a musical called simply Celia, opening at the New World Stage next week. Carolina Gonzalez with us here in the studio from Viva New York of the New York Daily News. Sandra Guzman on the phone from Tempo from the New York Post. We're just about out of time, Carolina. Sandra, let me ask you each this question. Are we now beginning to get a somewhat more nuanced view of Cuban life, of Cuban art, culture? Are we finally beginning to move past the kind of Ricky Ricardo, you know, Havana as, you know, tourist destination in the 1950s view of Cuba?
I very little dribs and drabs, honestly. I mean, I was recently in Mexico City, and there's a large Cuban exile community in Mexico City, and I just found the atmosphere so different. The way that people kind of talk about their art, the kind of work they're doing is just so much, it just feels so much more contemporary. And there was actually a piece
in Mexico City
opposed
to the United States.
As opposed to the United States, yes. And there was this piece that came out in the Times a few weeks ago about Madrid being this other place where you kind of have this neutral ground and, you know, and a band like Orishas can't live here. They have to live in Europe.
Yeah.
Sandra?
No, I actually, absolutely agree with Carolina. There's something called the embargo that has been, you know, keeping, I think, a lot of that great music from coming here. And, you know, the South Florida politics, which is unfortunate, mm-hmm. but it is seeping through. Like, you have bands like Orishas who have come here in Bamban.
Bamban has not been here in quite some time, though.
In L.A.
Well, the embargo, you know, that is still very much a bone of political and cultural contention.
Absolutely.
Between the countries. We're going to have to leave it there. Sandra Guzman from the New York Post, Carolina Gonzalez from the New York Daily News. To the two of you, thanks for being with us this afternoon on Soundcheck.
Hey, thanks, John.
A little bit more from Gloria Estefan's new record, 90 Millas, 90 Miles in the background. And up next, your guide to five more new CD releases from across the musical spectrum. And in a few minutes, For over three decades, guitar whiz Leo Kottke has been wowing audiences with his 6 and 12 string workouts, and he'll join us with a live performance. Stay tuned. This is Soundcheck.
Hay que pensar que lo bueno vendrá en el camino. Lo malo está en... Keep on with the force, don't stop.
It's time again for Soundcheck's Picks of the Week, where we give you a chance to hear some of what we've been listening to in the Soundcheck office. And we begin with the indie group Shivery. The record's called Tainted Love, Mating Calls, and Fight Songs. A bizarre title, but then it's a bizarre little record, full of songs by some of love's most notorious outlaws, people like Phil Spector, Ike Turner, Gary Glitter, and this tune from R. Kelly.
Baseball field, I wanna hit a home run. Me and you together, baby, raise a little wine. Chipping on Perignon, conversation like one. Not afraid to go downtown, won't you open up? After 9 to 5, I deserve some 12. I'm making future plans to be where I dwell.
That's called Half on a Baby, R. Kelly's song, done by the indie group Shivery from their new record. Another new record that's been getting a lot of play in the office is Manu Chao's latest. It's called La Radiolina. Manu Chao, of Spanish extraction, was the first French artist ever top the European charts back in 01, and he's just done it again with this new record, his first in 6 years. It's a typical blend, for him at least, of language, music, politics, and absolutely infectious beats.
Me llaman calle, calle de noche, calle de día. Me llaman calle, hoy tan cansada, hoy tan vacía. Como maquinita por la gran ciudad. Me llaman calle, me subo a tu coche. Me llaman calle de malegría. Calle dolida, calle cansada de tanto amar. Voy calle abajo, voy calle arriba, no me rebajo ni por la vida. Me llaman calle y ese es mi orgullo. Yo sé que un día llegará, yo sé que un día vendrá mi suerte. Un día me vendrá a buscar a la salida un hombre bueno pa' toda la vida y sin pagar. Mi corazón no es de alquilar. Me llaman calle, me llaman calle. Calle sufrida, calle tristeza de tanto amar. Me llaman calle, calle más calle.
Me llaman calle, they call me street, is the name of that from the new hit record by Manu Chao. The next of our Soundcheck picks of the week is from Eric Friedlander. This is a cellist who turns up in all kinds of different musical settings, from John Zorn's radical Jewish music to the indie rock band The Mountain Goats to his own jazz-inflected records. Block Ice and Propane is really inspired by American roots music, especially the guitar playing of the late John Fahey. Listen as Eric Friedlander turns his cello into a big old four-string guitar. Thank you. That's the title track from Eric Friedlander's latest. It's called Block Ice and Propane. Another of our picks of the week is Simona Dinnerstein, the pianist, and her recording of the Bach-Goldberg Variations. People have been talking about what a great story Simona is, breaking every rule in the book for how a concert pianist is supposed to manage her career. But this 34-year-old mom and piano teacher is also a great player. And if you, like I, thought that the last thing we needed was another pianist playing the Bach-Goldberg Variations, well, Simona's recording will show how wrong we were. That is the variation number 19 from the Bach-Goldberg Variations, new recording by Simona Dinnerstein. And our final soundcheck pick this week is the one-man band known as The Real Tuesday Weld. The Real Tuesday Weld is really Stephen Coates from London, and his latest is called The London Book of the Dead. Coates doesn't just make albums, he makes something that sounds more like mid-20th century radio plays. Here's an excerpt.
Dorothy Parker always knew what it felt like being you. Dorothy Parker always knew what you'd say and what you'd do. Dorothy Parker got you through the politics.
That's called Dorothy Parker Blue. A little bit of Serge Gainsbourg and Cole Porter, perhaps, being channeled by Stephen Coates, who records under the name The Real Tuesday Weld. As usual, all of our picks of the week can be found on the soundcheck page of our website at wnyc.org. Still to come, guitarist Leo Kottke, known for nearly 30 years for virtuosity on the 6 and 12-string guitar. He's also a master storyteller, and we'll find out why when he joins us after the break. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, Australia has a thriving music scene with a sound all its own, but many Americans rarely get to hear it. Tune in and find out what you need to know about Australian music tomorrow on Soundcheck.